In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear Catholic faithful, I presume you all or many of you have already heard the historical story of the so-called Christmas Eve miracle in the World War I. It is reported when the World War I has started in September 1914, then Christmas came the first year, and it was in Belgium on the front where the German army was on one side, on the other side were the British soldiers, the British army. And the front has not more moved since several weeks at least. So all soldiers were in trenches on both sides. They have digged them. It was winter time. It was cold, but it was 1914. The majority of the population in on both sides in all Christian countries in Europe were really believing in God. The Christianity was much more popular in the society than today, for instance. And then has happened what nobody has expected. They have killed each other, hundreds and thousands. It was a horrible war, and then it was Christmas Eve. And one of the soldiers has hold something, I don't know what, but he tried carefully to show himself over the trenches for the other side. The soldiers from the other side have not shot, have not killed them, but they reminded also today is Christmas Eve. And they were also carefully, but they came out of the trenches and they realized nobody is trying to kill us. And they met in the neutral zone between on the front line. And they have celebrated Christmas together. It's amazing. It's touching story. They shew cards. I heard that the British Army has provided their soldiers with small Christmas trees. And they presented them, they have exchanged the presents. The German soldiers, they had proviant, they offered to the other side. And one of the men, he got a ball for playing football. And they played a match, the Germans against the British. And they have celebrated Christmas. And these men had more than enough from war, but they were forced to kill each other. How horrible story, and how inspiring story, that they were aware today is Christmas. God has come to this world in order to save us. How can we kill each other? And when I mention this historical event, this very sad was then that the generals, they were not at all happy with that event. And next year on Christmas, next years, they have done all that the soldiers continue to kill each other. They didn't allow the same will be repeated. When we hear this, we are also hearing endless stories about wars in the world. We have heard Iraq war, Afghanistan war, Syrian war, now in Ukraine. And we are often so helpless. We say, what can I do? Why are you killing each other? There are many arguments to say, yes, this has legitimated the war and that has legitimated the war. I don't want to speak about politics now. This is a topic for itself. But what can we do? And I heard a very wise rule. A very wise monk has told once, if you want to save the entire world, do first save yourself. Yourself, before you teach the others, you should exercise that what you want to tell the others in order to help. It means when you want to save the world, do all you leave the faith, the serious relationship with our divine savior, with Jesus Christ, and then you collect, so to say, the grace of God, and then you are able to share. And then the people will understand, we can trust you, because you are giving by your life example, a corresponding example, and you are convincing us, because you are not only speaking pious words, but you try to live and to exercise. And this is for us today. We have so many wars, so many conflicts in the world, in a bigger scale and a smaller scale. Let us start with ourselves. I want to help the Russians and the Ukrainians today, for instance, to find peace. Find, please, peace first with your brother, with the other members of your family, with your neighbor. And how often we realize the problem is not as serious as we are thinking, but we continue and continue. I want to have my right, I want to have my right, and we are not ready to listen to the other in order first to understand his or her problem, his or her wish, desire, and so on. How often we have differences, but I have a horrible problem to forgive. I know I should forgive, but my pride does not allow me to forgive. To forgive from heart, to saying, we do experience sometimes. The people say, oh, we have discussed, forgiven and forgotten. Neither the one nor the other. Neither forgiven nor forgotten. And this is the source of so many conflicts in our human level, in our private situation. Or we meet other people and something I don't like on them. We are not all compatible. For instance, not every pair can marry. Of course, we are so different. You must find the person is fitting to me. In many regards, yes. But also, not everyone can be my friend. We have different interests. We have different mentalities and so on. That's normal. That's not a problem. But I must give the other side also the legitimated right and to say, that's your life, I tolerate at least. And something has happened, I forgive you, and I do not remind you 10, 20, 50 years later on the old story in our childhood. And I carry it through my entire life, creating troubles, troubles, and troubles. Forgive first the other. This is such an important activity. We must learn to forgive. The other side is asking for pardon expressively. And you have problems, you are blockaded to forgive. And I tell you a story. You can very imagine that there's can happen to every priest. We have the secret of confession. This is a great story and helping also us priests very much. But to just imagine the situation, a person comes to a priest and confesses a sin committed against the same priest. Father, I accuse myself of committed a lie against you, or I have offended you. And then we priests are in the situation on the human level. It is understandable that the priest becomes excited, saying, how? I didn't expect from you. But at the same time, as a servant, a representative of Christ, the priest gives the absolution. And then the argument to the priest, he himself must say, how can I not forgive if God has forgiven through me, but God has forgiven in the sacrament of confession? This is the extreme situation, of course, but it shall tell us, be ready to forgive. Do search forgiveness. Of course, the other side must ask for forgiveness, must come to understanding, having done something wrong, offending, and so on. But we must be ready to forgive in hope, in advance. It will work only when the other side comes with contrition, asking, forgive me, please. But we must be ready to pray to God and to say, oh dear God, you are the witness. I am ready to forgive from the heart in the case this person becomes aware of their own mistake or sin or whatever has happened. And then God is, this is like a prayer, like a very intensive prayer. Yes, this person is ready to forgive. And then it does happen faster because we are ready and we do want. The opposite side is we cultivate, oh, he's wrong, she's wrong, he's wrong, she's wrong, and we will never come to peace here. And without peace here, we can never spread peace. I heard recently interesting argument of a priest. He said, when you use, for instance, in a big city, a tube, the underground transportation, you go with the escalator down and you meet so many people on the other side. It's filled with people. And then he said, ask yourself, what are your thoughts? Oh, she's fat. Oh, his nose is looking strange. Oh, how can somebody dress himself by this way? These are hand on the heart, often enough our thoughts. And this priest said, no. Stop, change your mind, and you meet other people, oh, strangely dressed, looking not nice. But think, God is loving them. God is loving them. Do not cultivate the animosity. God is loving them. God has died for them. Oh, she's fat. Oh, dear God, instead of that, help her to do a diet. Help her to do sport. I don't know. Possibly it's a disease. Not laziness of that person. Am I the judge? Do I know all? No. So when we learn, it must be a spiritual training. Step by step, we can grow in this. We must change our mentality. And then when we find peace in our heart, when we are ready to forgive, then we will find peace. We will find agreement, at least with the people of goodwill. And then we can start something is very small and it's not promising big success. That's not important what it is promising. But we on our place are living the same what Jesus has given us as an example. He has suffered and he has spread his blood, shed his blood for us. And we must learn to have the same mentality. Also with regard to so-called enemies, we can always come and say, "Oh, this is a heretic, be condemned." Am I God? No. Our holy mission is to say, "Oh dear God, he is wrong. He is a heretic. But help him to find the truth. I pray for you. At least 3 Ave Marias. Help this poor person." We must feel how poor the people are. Also our eventual enemies, how poor they are, those arrogant people, those people are manipulating the others. We do criticize them, and we must criticize them, of course. But our holy duty is also to pray for them and to see how miserable their condition is in the eyes of God. If we, true Catholics, who we want to be and who we are, on the other hand, of course, if we are not able to pray for them, who else, please? Nobody else. So this is a very good rule. And we come often in touch in our families, in our relationships with the colleagues, the job. We can always breed animosity. But we can also help to find a common language to say, no, forget. If some people do, for instance, spread calumnies, we can also intervene and say, are you sure? Are you really knowing the situation? But then, so by this way, we can a little bit, drop for drop, influence the situation, and in longer term, we can help to find peace. And let me share with you a story that has very touched me. A while ago, I was contacted, I don't say better, I don't say from which side, in the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, a soldier has contacted me privately, and he was on the front. I don't say a Russian one or an Ukrainian one, doesn't matter finally. And he said, "Father, please help me. May I ask you, how can I help you? I know you have military secrets." And he said, "Father, I'm so suffering. I killed people." It was his duty, so to say. It was not his sin. We do never say soldiers in the war, as long as they have not committed war crimes and so on. But there was a situation I was asking, how can I help this poor soul? 21, a young boy, was a soldier in the war, and he had the duty to kill, and he is suffering. He has saved here the conscience, his Christian Catholic mentality. And I told him, besides other things, you know, dear friend, this will persecute you for a while. You are not able to switch off these thoughts. You will suffer for a while. But do offer it to God that you both, brother people, nations, will hopefully find earlier peace, better in 10 years than in 50 years. Even if only in 10 years, but not in 50 years. And this will also save much in the history of your countries. And that's what we are also recommended to do. When we do not see any chance to influence positively conflict, do penance for the other side, for the others, for the enemies, for those people who are unjust. Do pray for them. Then we will find peace and we will give a good example for our children, for our friends, for other members of the family. Then we know what forgiveness is. then we know who Jesus Christ is, the Redeemer, who wants, he is knocking on the door of our soul. Do penance, do change your life, do return to the source of the eternal life. Turn to me and follow my commandments, and then we will find peace, and then we have at least a chance to do something positive for all the conflicts. First, in our life, we don't speak about international conflicts. That's not our job, more or less. But when we try to save our soul, to live our faith, when we learn to forgive from the heart, also in the hope for the enemy, then God will be here. And then it's not a fairy tale, a theory, then it's true life. And God is giving us his grace, because this is his biggest desire, that people find peace. And so, as the famous Christmas carol says, Gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax hominibus bone voluntatis. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise be Jesus Christ.